With me today, we just heard all kinds of performers that will be at this year's folk festival, and we'll finish it off with some.
And if it's Friday morning, folks, and if it's Friday morning, and it's 11 a.m., you're listening to CKUW FM 95.9 on your FM dial, and you're listening to your host, Al. I got to turn my mic up a bit. And the temperature is 24 right now. It's comfortable out there, a little bit muggy, but you know, it's good for you and me. But if you got to be out there 24/7, it's not comfortable at all. There's always something that's going to be bothering you. We have actually really good humidity today. It's 59%, and when it gets up to 80-90%, it gets really miserable here in Winnipeg for the folks out there. So if you're going by Tim's, you're going by Robin's, you're going by Starbucks, and you're buying a coffee, buy a second one. Actually, today, don't buy coffee, buy water, because everybody needs water. And it's really important to stay hydrated. A lot of folks, you'd be surprised how many folks die in summertime as compared to wintertime. The numbers are pretty much equal because of heat stroke and dehydration and all that kind of stuff, so be kind. Today, I have a good friend on, Junior Kozak. He wears many hats, sort of like I do. He wears many hats, and he does a lot of good things for the community, and especially for the Indigenous community in Winnipeg and Manitoba. I have to say Manitoba because you're doing a lot of stuff up north. Junior, thanks for coming on the show today.
Yeah, I'm Bujun, and this is called Mekanako Gichita. My spirit name is Turtle Warrior. I go by Junior. And thank you very much, Miigwech, Al, again, for having me on.
I know you do so much in the community, and you always have. And I think it's 24 on your mind 24/7, how can I better help the the people, the people in this community, and the indigenous folks out there. Do you want to, as I ask every guest, and just to give us a brief bio about your, a little bit about your past and what brings you here today, and then we'll get into other things about what you're doing.
So I'm born here in Winnipeg, and I've had a pretty good experience in life to me myself, now that I learned that it was a good experience, and everything that I've gone through is a learning lesson. And I've probably not had like the most sunniest days, but again, it is my story, and you guys can see it all over the internet. You guys can just look up my name. Also check us out all over Winnipeg, all over Manitoba. As Al said, we're helping out everywhere, and not just myself, but as a team that I'm able to find and build. And yeah, man, we're wrecking it out there. Like, I used to be homeless myself many times, but a lot of times by choice, just not wanting to, you know, pay into and have to listen to someone, you know, always telling you, oh, if you don't pay your rent, you're homeless. You know, you're going to get kicked out. You don't pay your bills, we're cutting you off. Yeah. And that's a lot of stress in its own self, man.
And so many people are on the street simply because they choose to live there because of the stress of housing, right?
Yes,
and
exactly.
All the rules, all the regulations, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, talk to folks in the camps, and they would rather stay there and be able to smoke pot in the tents and all this stuff, and where you can't do that in housing, you'll get kicked out, and you're into nasty landlords. As a person who went through poverty in housing after homelessness, I found that to be way more stressful and traumatic than actually homelessness was, because of the responsibilities and all that.
Yeah, and also too, the restrictions of drugs, alcohol, and violence. I've been through all that myself. I did fall victim of all that. But, you know, I was able to find the strength in knowing that I could handle my problems, my life issues, and everything now on me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need the substance to help me out to, get through it. You know, they say all these different words, like depression and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's only what you want to put into it. Again, I always look at it as like, why don't I, if I'm depressed about this, why don't I be depressed about not being my own boss? About running my own life, you know what I mean? Those are types of things that I could be depressed about. So let's get to a point to where we can move forward. Myself, I take those footsteps very seriously. I research a lot. I always believe in myself. I always tell myself I'm great, because at the end of the day, I'm my biggest fan.
You have to be.
Yeah, for real, man.
We all have our detractors, that's for sure.
I love the haters, because I'm always on their mind. And thank you for all the encouragement, you know, and people always put out there, oh, man, you're doing this, you're doing that wrong, you shouldn't be doing that. And it's like, thank you, I'll work on that, and I'll get better at it.
I have a lot of followers on social media too, right? But I also have detractors, and people don't necessarily like what they have to say. But we got to say what we got to say. Right?
Exactly. And we're all going to have to do what we have to do. It doesn't matter who you believe in, God, Creator, Buddha, Allah, you know, yourself, whatever it be, we got to be the best version of ourselves.
Yeah, we do. I know you and I have spoken previously, and you're not, and you talk about it openly about your life of addiction. And I just like to know how, because so many people struggle and never get off, how was it that you were able to?
Myself, I was.
And what started it?
I pretty much started drinking when I was like about 16 or so. That was always my thing, my get-go. And then once I knew cocaine and other drugs like crack could keep you awake and keep you partying, boom, I was glued, man. I was like, And then when I tried the heroin, you know what I mean? It was like, it was a trigger in my brain. It just felt good because, like, I was a young kid on Ritalin, and we all know that.
Well, that's a start.
And that's like 80% heroin, right? Yeah. Like the same mixture. And I was selling my Ritalin with T's and R's, Tylenol, and making money off it, man, and knowing that was cheap man's heroin. So, just a young dude doing that stuff, and fell right into it, because all my events that I went through in my life, traveling, radio stations, hip-hop, all that stuff that I did, I was promoted to it, right? People would give me booze, drugs, women for promotion, and that's the way I grew, man. I didn't have no positive father figures or mother figures or role models, you know what I mean? Especially indigenous role models, because
hard to find.
It was really declared as, you know, how it is, cowboys and Indians. Yeah, well,
exactly.
Or the bad guys.
Well, again, there were racism back there, too. Right?
Yeah, it's still around, but, you know, whatever it is, it is. And I overcame a lot of things by just sitting there contemplating, learning, you know, letting the...
What's it called?
The scrapes and bruises be what they are, you know, and the scars, you know, chicks dig scars, bruises heal.
Yeah.
So there let's rock and roll. Yeah, you know, and I got a great story. So when I go do speeches across Turtle Island, it's great. You know, I know how to read the crowd's energy, so I know where to go. I know when they're getting bored of something and move on. And getting into what I got into, brought me a good set of friends, a good set of family, as you would say. You know, like, I didn't really have my own family, so I had to build that.
Right.
You know, good brothers, good sisters, and people that really believe in you, you know what I mean? And actually believe in the things that you say, not just there for the ride, you know what I mean? Like, we got a lot of people that helped me out to help out a lot of other people. And it's great, because without their support...
Yeah, you can do.
I would have to figure out another way, and which I would. Because I wouldn't stop. Because I was told by a good mentor, Bentley Dubois, you know, when I was healing and through his anger management program, that I was, the only way to heal more once I get to a point is to help others. And so I took that serious.
It did. Yeah, I truly believe in that, because when I came out of homeless, I think I was suffering from clinical depression and all. You know, I jumped off a bridge as a homeless person and all that. And suffering from clinical depression, but serious. But, you know, when you have a focus on somebody else and a purpose, I mean, that helped me clear my depression up. I didn't need any medication. A year and a half out of homelessness, I didn't need any medication anymore. You know, I had people to care for, and I had my cause, and that, you know, I don't think it's supposed to work that way, but it worked that way for me, right?
Yeah.
It just all that went away. No more drugs, no more antidepressants, and all that kind of stuff. But I know where you're coming from on that. Today, I know you're doing a lot. And last time I saw you was about a month or a month and a half ago at CHU. And you're busy with food now. And that's just one of the things that you're doing. And I so appreciate what you're doing, because there's such a big need out and about. And so many everyday lives are suffering, right? And don't have enough to get by. And talk a little bit about what you're doing on the food issue.
Well, when I was a young man, I was looking like for something to do to give back. So I became a tree planter at first, and now up to date, I probably did like 8 seasons and put over 5 million trees into the ground.
Okay,
I feel good about that. Giving it oxygen, but also looking for something else to do. So when my daughters were young, shout out to my daughters, Shanita and Vanna. You guys are awesome. And we would make sandwiches and stuff and go give it out, right? One time we got stopped by the cops, told us that we couldn't do that, that we could be poisoning the homeless people. So, whatever, we kept at it, kept doing our thing here in secret, doing things. And now I see, like, it's great that there's a lot of organizations out there doing that work, you know what I mean? Handing out food, handing out water, walking, doing their thing.
Yeah.
So, that was a big thing of my thing at first, but I see so many others are doing that, so I'm not needed there.
Yeah.
So... what we did was now with Chu, Community Helpers Unite, and Brandy, she's awesome, man. Yeah. She's a good sister, awesome woman. She takes my word for what it is, you know. She believes in me.
Good, good.
And, we move forward, and now we're giving out pallets of food to the North End. Like,
awesome.
Every Sunday, we give out food, abundance of food. Also, a couple times during the week, too, like when they got extra stuff, they bring it to me, and I can give it out.
You know,
not just food either, houseware stuff, all that.
Awesome.
But today's, like, groceries, man,
it's
a war on us, man. You got to pay rent, you got to pay bills.
It is a war, let me tell you.
And, like, man, so giving out food, I don't take pictures, I don't do videos, I don't do it, because I don't make fame off the pain, man.
You know what, Junior, there are people out there that might do good work, but they take pictures of it. And they broadcast it, and they take videos, and they broadcast it. If you're doing that, you're not doing it for the right reason. And I abhor when stuff like that gets done. And when you'll see somebody on Instagram or Facebook and they're saying, well, look what we're doing today, look what we're doing today. And they're showing videos and things. And it's like, yeah, and they're, yeah, I can't talk enough negatively about it, so I'll stop. But I hate, and then what you're also doing at times is exposing the people that you're giving the food to or mm-hmm. the help to. And I mean, that's just taking advantage of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. That is a form of taking advantage. Again, that's what they do. They haven't been properly taught the lessons that they need to learn.
Yeah.
And again, it's just the way the internet is today, man. Like, you can get lost in it. And I think all these little things, like look at the Instagrams, the TikToks, all these things, man, just everybody believes that that's the future, but they're not taking the steps to learn all the steps. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Maybe we should just cut out for a music break, and we'll come back and talk to Junior again, because you're doing so much good stuff.
Thank you.
And we're back, folks, and that was Big Dave McLean, I could probably say a Winnipeg icon. And I think down at the, what's the place on Main Street there?
Times Change,
a mainstay over at Times Change if he doesn't own it. Yeah, he's been there many years. Right now it's 24 degrees downtown, 20 at the airport. It's a comfortable day out there. Humidity's in the comfort zone as well. But when you're going to Tim's or Robin's or Starbucks or even the corner store, buy an extra bottle of water or something. Buy an extra can of pop and give it out to somebody there. It's really, really important that people are hydrated and can get by. And also, it lets people know that somebody's caring about them up there as well. So we've got to do it, folks. So please do. And today again, we're with you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM, your community radio station at the University of Winnipeg, and you're listening to the Hope Alley of No Fixed Address show. And we are the show that talks about the vulnerable in the society and the homeless and the people living in poverty. And I don't think there are any quick fix solutions. All we can do is help one person at a time when we can and where we can. And I have a person in the studio right now, Junior Kozak, who's doing that and has been doing it for years, ever since I know him. You said, well, you were on the show 6 years ago. Well, that's a long time. I can't believe it's 6 years already. You've been doing this digging into your own pockets to help people out. And we just discussed the food issues with Chew and your own initiative now as well. On Magnus, I think, on Sundays?
No, it's Redwood and Charles.
Redwood and Charles, sorry.
Yeah. So, everybody just got to believe in themselves.
Yes.
As myself, I did too. Mm-hmm. I'm just Nietzsche from Winnipeg, mm-hmm. man, you know. And yeah. I've had five of my own businesses. Again, when we first came on, it was Accountable on Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
We had nine sober living houses.
Yes.
Now today, I've opened up my own business again, Shikabe all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Shikabe means helper in our language.
Okay, yes.
And we're here to help, man. That's what it is. Like, we don't mm-hmm. we don't discriminate. I don't look for pictures. I don't need excuses. I don't need your name or health card. I just want to give food,
yep.
Show that mm-hmm. There's love out there, that there's care, and I can do this. So let's mm-hmm. do this together.
All right, you know that's
mean?
That's
get
so
the
awesome.
Word
out. And I still think you and I have business to do together at some point here.
Yeah.
Because we do the same things.
And again, I'm drawn to natural medicine, so that's mm-hmm. what I do. When I found out I got colon cancer, I went right.
Wow.
I went straight to the medicines and found out about it, and now it just draws me to it.
Okay.
I was just out in Easterville. Shout out to Easterville and Lindsay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the beautiful visit and beautiful people, the beautiful lands. Like, it's, oh, man.
Yeah, you travel a lot.
Yeah, I'm at a lot of places. I love sun dances. I like mm-hmm. going to ceremonies, sweats, mm-hmm. And just learning, going to help out, being at Shikabe, what I mean?
Yeah.
Just giving her. And I got a lot of great people around me that teach me. And I get to, feed up their energy, seeing them all do great.
Mm-hmm.
We got the youth, man. It's so beautiful to see them into it, because they're, in my mind, there's a future.
Yeah, and that future could go the wrong way if things aren't guided along at that stage, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like recovery, let's mm-hmm. say recovery. But I remember when we said, let's discover our new selves, right? Because we don't want to say, I want to be that old guy that I was, or that old person I was, because that's the person that fell victim to all this pressure,
mm-hmm.
that felt
mm-hmm.
you want to grow, you want to learn from what happened, mm-hmm. right? And see it, break it down, see where you fell, so then you can pick yourself up even stronger. So mm-hmm. then when those times come again, you know where those so-called triggers, as
yep.
they say,
mm-hmm.
come into play.
Yeah.
And again, build a community. That's what I did.
Yes,
I have great people.
I know you do, yeah.
That know when I'm in a mode, or if I'm trying to be that person, I'm fine. I'm good,
mm-hmm.
And they honestly come to me and say, no, what's wrong with you, man? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Let's talk.
Yeah.
And then, but I'm so blessed with so many ceremonies, man. Like, I don't know, the last month and a half to 2 months. Me and my buddy Rob, we've been at like several sweats and ceremonies. Man, it's so beautiful to get to go meet all these great people that are putting themselves forward. You know, we ran a fast camp. It was beautiful, man, just to see and learn that aspect of it. And then mixing in language and teachings and medicines and just land-based stuff, man. Just out there meeting some people, really good people, trying to put forward like the best that they can to help out their communities, help out others. And again, it's not just, I'm not just here for the indigenous people. I'm here for everybody that lives here on Turtle Island. Like, we got to all work together, man. It's not just one based. I am more focused on the indigenous people, but at the same time, we're here for everybody.
Yeah, well, again, 75% of our homeless are indigenous, way overrepresented. So, you know, there's a need there.
Yeah.
There's an absolute 100% need there. I hold a, as a, you and I were talking, I hold a homeless memorial service called Hope Valley Memorials on Main in Hope Valley at in between the Bell Hotel and the WHA building, 650 Main. I think it's important that you're there this coming October. And we always have a daybreak service to honor the people that passed away on the street in the last year. And the civil service, 40 minutes. And it focuses on the survivors and on the folks that passed away. And this year, I think we're going to have well over 300 that were, we read the names off of the people that passed away in the previous year, right? And it's such a sobering, sobering experience. And it's and then we have people who have lost loved ones come up and talk about the people that they've lost. And you know, this year, you know, this will be my 10th. And I know you do drumming, and I think it'd be cool if you could come in and be that person or that group that did that this year.
Man, we'd be honored. I can bring out some peeps, and we can do some songs, come drum, and you know, smudge people down, and come give some positivity.
That'd be awesome. And you know, I do work with the Main Street Project because they always provide the bannock and the stew and the coffee and the hot chocolate and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
They've kind of been my since I started this thing. I went to them and I went to Shalom, and they were my partners in the first 2 years. And Shalom kind of backed away, but we've been doing this for 10 years, and I want to know your opinion. I know what it's going to be, but I want to hear it from you. This November, Canadian Alliance on Homelessness is coming to Winnipeg for their, you know, for their big annual conference on homelessness. Our very first homeless memorial service was at the Convention Center in conjunction with the CEO Sleepout, and I still argue against those things. And the Canadian Alliance on Homelessness Conference, we had a daybreak service at 8 o'clock in the morning, along with the Sacred Fire. And so my thought was, should we reprise that? Should we go back and work in conjunction with the Canadian Alliance on Homelessness and have it downtown at the Convention Center? And but then, you know, I thought, well, it's really, really corporate. The Canadian Alliance on Homelessness has gotten really, really corporate. And I remember at the last time they were here, we tried to give homeless folks food and we were rejected. And so that kind of turned me off a little bit. And also, would the folks that need to be at the service, the survivors, would they make it down to the Convention Center, right? Or should we just have it there and invite the people to come down and see how many people come down to really feel the reality of it, right? What's your opinion on that? And just, or just have it the same we always do, make an announcement down there, if you want to come, come. And I think because it's such a spiritual ceremony and it's sobering and it just, you know, pulls at your heart and your spirit and everything, I think we should just plain old leave it where it is and not think about it, even if, you know, it's a 10th anniversary thing.
Yeah, well, out of the words of my good brother, Bobby Abitagan, you know, it's not homelessness. We're just houseless. We're already home.
Yeah.
You know, these lands are our home.
Yeah.
We just have to learn how to live with each other and make things work.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's it's a tag. It's a way that they make money. You know what I mean? Let's put homelessness everywhere. Yeah. Let's make this make sobriety a great thing. It's like, hey, man, you know, like if I broke it down to the way I think, people would not know the way that I think because I think out of the box, way out the box. I'm always grabbing money everywhere.
Yeah, but that's the only way you get things done is by thinking out of the box.
Exactly, and have those that encouragement to move forward with it. Mm-hmm. You know how many jobs I've walked away with that I've had good so-called jobs, you know, high-paying. Mm-hmm. But seeing the road that I could have went down, like listening to my coworkers, or seeing like I climbed that ladder to the top dog, and the only way I was going to be able to move any farther is become the owner. And that's not my job. Mm-hmm. You know, so it looks like every time I get to that point, it's like I have to be that dude. And everybody can do this. I'm not something special. You know, I just believe in myself so good that, like, but no one can take me down.
You
know,
have to have the spirit to do it.
I have five kids that I teach every day to move forward, to be the best that they can. And if I can't be the best that I can, how can I expect that from them? How can I preach to them? So every day we're out there. I'm always reaching, listening, and doing what I got to do. Feed the peeps, see where people need, especially the single mothers and single fathers. Yeah. Just trying to give her. You know, and not falling off themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, we all need help. It shouldn't be just after something happens. We should have a plan before things happen.
Of course.
There shouldn't be non-help for those that are paying their bills and just making it.
And, you know? Yeah, they need help too.
Because that's where the things could fall really hard.
Right. So what your answer would be, keep it where it is?
I would say let's have heart.
Yeah, that's where the heart is right there.
Exactly.
And I put it there for a reason, and I think that reason needs to stand, right? Yeah. Because it's for the people, right? It's for them. It's not for anybody else. And people say, yeah, but you get bigger exposure. Yeah, but this is a spiritual ceremony, and I don't think we should mess with it. Yeah. So, you know, you talked about your new housing initiative. We have a few minutes to talk about that. Maybe you just give us some
news. We're not just structured for men or women. We want to, again, families, just like we did before. Mm-hmm. We got everybody involved and as much as people as we can involve. Again, I do my volunteer work everywhere I can and just bring in the peeps, let them try and believe in themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's up to them, man. Like, I can only open a door.
Of course.
If they can do the steps and the work, by all means, let's get here. Let's get going, man. But what's going to help you?
Yeah.
I can explain what helps me with ceremony, you know, getting back to my traditions of my people. Mm-hmm. And I am Ojibwe. I do hang out with a whole bunch of Cree. Whoop, whoop. But, just the family base that I built and been able to surround myself with really helps me. Mm-hmm. So I always promote find your community.
Yeah, are you able to keep people in the housing?
Yeah.
Or is it an issue at all? Because lots of times people are not used to it.
Well, at this end of the day, just got to do your part. I work with EIA very well.
Okay.
So it's very affordable.
Yeah.
And they still have cash to do what they need to do, but not like, you know, where they're going to take off and do their thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, everything still has to get paid or it gets put back on
to
me.
Of course,
you know, and I will take that responsibility because I have that responsibility.
But it's not where it should go. Yeah.
Yeah. And at the same time, so we provide rooms, $750 a room.
Okay.
But also that includes food and things. So my daughter, she helps me out very good. And she asked for a weekly list of things that what would help them.
Okay.
And she does her best to knock off everything on that list. And, you know, she's awesome. She does. She's a big part of this, too. And same with my other daughter, you know, and my kids, too. Because
awesome.
They come to the house, they give that spirit to show that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Man, not that long ago, I didn't have my kids.
Yeah.
I couldn't see my kids. I was homeless and a drug addict and all that. And I switched my life around. And then I got custody of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to have my kids and teach them in the way that I needed to, even though I had a lot of blockades and a lot of things I had to come through.
Yeah.
But I did it, you know, in a positive way. I could have been my own self.
I'm so happy that you've been able to do that. When so many suffering from addiction absolutely cannot, and they don't get the proper, you know, guidance that they need or encouragement that they need.
Yeah.
You know, I see it all the time. I've you know, as I have been in housing for 10 years, I see the downfalls. I see people, you know, again, what people say is, you know, failure is success in a way in addictions, because you got to fail before you can succeed. And you have to learn from those experiences. And that's one thing that just really struck with me. But talk to us about, you just mentioned before you came on air, oh, you're in Easterville, and you also mentioned you go up north a lot, and I know that because several times when we talked, you've been somewhere up there in Camberville or somewhere, and you just talked about providing laundry to folks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I want to give a shout-out to Heidi Cook. She's a great leader of her mm-hmm. community in Grand Rapids.
Okay.
It's very beautiful there. She sun dances for her peoples, and, you know, I hope to be a good leader, a good person like herself and her community mm-hmm. and others too that I've visited. So right now we want to make an initiative, go and help out the communities, because when I was up in Hollow Water with my kids mm-hmm. our washer and dryer broke.
Okay. Yeah.
And we really knew that, and I was washing all the clothes in the
tub, sink. Yeah, in the tub. Yeah, yeah.
And I have 5 kids, man. That's a lot of work. And I'm a man, so I'm just thinking, like, what if a single mother had this? And what if others, you know what I mean, needed this? So what we're doing with Choose Help and through Costco is they're providing me washers and dryers.
Mm, yes.
And we just got to get up to the communities, and they have a spot, mm-hmm. and we want to do a free laundromat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
that's
what
amazing.
I mean? Just so, you know, so the CFS, the Jordan's Principles,
and
the counselors
what?
Can work with those peeps, take them there instead of coming to the home.
Yeah.
Okay, check this out. So,
and you know what would happen in Winnipeg? We tried to do, there'd be so much bureaucracy and red tape that we would never get done.
Yeah.
It happened in Winnipeg.
We would just have to do it like I do it. Kimooch, man, underground, just give her, man.
It's so
do you really think that they want me doing what I'm doing in the North End? How many letters and stuff I get saying,
no,
well,
I'm sure.
Do that?
No, I'm sure. This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Get out of here, man, you know? What are you going to do, arrest a guy for doing good work?
Yeah, this is exactly what I'm talking about. There's so much red tape and bureaucratic snafus and things to go through and barriers to prevent good things from happening.
Exactly, because it's not profitable for them.
Yeah.
If we're helping the peeps to be healthy, mm-hmm. well, where's the paycheck coming from, right?
Exactly. Is there anything else that you'd like to leave with our guests today? I'm just really thrilled to know you and know the good work that you do, because, you know, you hold a special place for me. And ever since, you know, we started talking, I'm not sure why we started talking.
Redwood Lodge, man, remember?
Redwood. Redwood. Right, I was working there at the time.
Yeah. So all I got to say is, man, find your future, believe in yourself, you know, find that community, because that's the only way we're going to grow.
Right.
You know, what works for me is not going to work for everybody.
No.
I like to do the footwork.
And
you know what I mean?
You're an out-of-the-box kind of guy, and I think, you know, we have to go that way, whereas, you know, when you work with the city, different governments, agencies, it's all straight down the line, inside the box. You can't step out to do things that might work. And
I believe sovereignty living is going to be the way, man. We got to all look out for each other, because if this system really cared for us, would they not be mailing us seeds every January to start food?
Yeah,
I believe let's feed the peeps, man, not make it all a harsh thing and dirty our water. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever met my cousin Steve Neufeld? He's with Riverwood House. He's the executive director there.
Maybe, possibly, I don't
know. I'll have to introduce you to him. Maybe have an on-air conversation with the both of you. And, you know, he's the executive. It's an addiction, and after, say, AFM type of addiction place, and you can stay for a year or 15 months or something and try to work on the issues. I agree, and I disagree with some of the things that he does. I think you guys would have a very interesting discussion on practices, right?
Yeah.
And on models of addiction. But I think, you're going to be at my symposium in September 14th.
Yeah, for sure.
March
September
14th on the date. And I had my addictions speaker, Greg Keeler from Bruce Oak. He's the executive director there, back out because that day didn't work for him. So I'm looking for another person to speak on addiction. We might, you know, see about you in that role, but we'll see. But it's going to be a good day, and things are shaping up for that. But I thank you so much for coming on the show, Junior, and being part of this again.
Yep, me Gwich, and one more thing to say, man, just keep your home fire clean, you know, try to keep the booze out of it, try to keep the drugs out of it, try to keep the garbage out of it. Let's keep it whole and, you know, believe in yourself. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Junior. And I think we'll call it a day this week or call it a week, and we may be replaying an archive show for next week, maybe even this one. But we'll be back the week after, and I intend to kind of relax over the end of June and July. So I think that's a good opportunity to start doing that. But, yeah, so come back next week for another entertaining show, and be kind to going to Tim's, Robin's, Starbucks, McDonald's. Get something else. And you know, even in City Place, there are people out there who will be asking you for something. I'm in City Place almost every morning, and there's always somebody asking for something, because there, you know, a lot of needy folks out there. And you know, I do some work in the library downtown, and I see the need out there, and it's actually worse than you think. You know, it's really, really bad, and how much need people have, whether they're in shelter or living poor. There's such a huge need. So be kind, as kind as you can, and you know, maybe try for 1 minute to imagine yourself in those folks' shoes. But again, thanks for tuning in today, and come back next week. Take care.
I'll be on the way.
For me, I don't be seeing all that stuff down. I don't be laying that stuff on me. Well, I may have been born in that, you know, but ooh, it wasn't just yesterday. When all you do is break all the rules. I stop your screaming after justice. When all you do is break all the rules. Now you ain't nothing but a loudmouth phony. You treat good people like they are fools. At night. for me. could do. He's got them backward blues.
KUW 95.9 FM for Dialogue, Gravel Roads to City Lights, every second Friday at 8 a.m. I'm your co-host, Kaylin Spain, and we facilitate conversations bridging rural and urban Manitoba on hot topics.
And I'm Marianne Sorelli, the other co-host. Our initial idea was to facilitate dialogue on the radio between people who disagree, to model having a civil conversation about a difficult topic. The reality is, people don't want to come on the radio and disagree, but we're working on it.
In the meantime, we have interesting guests with interesting things to say on issues important to you as Manitobans. You belong.
The Wrench is the Winnipeg Repair Education and Cycling Hub. Since 2010, The Wrench has used discarded bike parts collected from Winnipeg's 4R sites to educate our community in bike mechanics and keep all of us on our bikes through access to bikes and bike repair. We work with schools throughout Winnipeg and train teens to rebuild bikes from scratch. We offer bike shop services year-round at the Thursday afternoon open shop and in the summer at our Wrench Forks kiosk. We train mechanics of all ages and learning programs at our 1057 Logan shop and partner sites. And we give away hundreds of kids' bikes every year. To learn more or become a volunteer, visit us at thewrench.ca.
Smoking, the rest of the band was on fire. You can tell at a glance with everyone in the trance, they're all getting higher and higher and higher. There's a party going on. There was a party going on. Everyone in the place had a real good taste, and it's all day party going on. In the alley, party was way out of hand. So when the cops did arrive with the wagon outside, they put the cuffs on everyone in the band. There was a party going on. There was a party going on. Everyone in the place had a real good taste. It is all day party going on. them to jump and act real crazy. Voodoo music gonna knock them crazy. Voodoo. The voodoo. Yeah, the voodoo music got the whole world on the go. Ah, the voodoo music has affected the boys. They jump real crazy and laugh for joy. Make them feel like they own the world. Make them feel like controlling the girls. Voodoo. A voodoo. Yeah, the voodoo music got the whole world on the go. Bat your hands and jump about. The voodoo music gonna knock you out. The voodoo. The voodoo. Yeah, the voodoo music got the whole world on the go.
Thank you.